Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I am back bringing the good news show to you. Today we have a lot of good information. We're going to be talking about inner strength, finding peace, and just being whole. We have a special guest. Her name is Rachel Richardson, and she'll be on with us later this morning. She will be talking about nutrition. She'll help you determine which foods are healthy and which ones are not healthy. So stay tuned for that. She should be on around 6:20 this morning. This is Patty Black bringing the Good News Show to you live from Miami Beach, Florida. And I am on air with Sherry. Sherry, are you with us this morning?
I am here with you this morning, Patty. Good morning, and good morning to all our listeners. It's great to be here this beautiful morning in sunny South Florida. And I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about the benefits of spiritual growth and living in the present moment. And I know this is a little bit... We're doing a little series on this spiritual growth, inner peace. So I hope you're interested. I'd like to get some feedback from everybody that's listening to let me know how you're enjoying this part of the segment. I talk about what I like and what works for me, and I talk about the things that I incorporate in my life and what interests me. So, you know, spiritual growth is as important as the inner peace that we talked about last week. And I encourage you to go back and listen to that show. It's really a great show. And spiritual awakening, it's huge and very important for living a better, happier, and more harmonious life, freeing ourselves of the tension and strain, you know, the fear and the anxieties that we tend to live with. So, spiritual growth is a process of getting rid of wrong concepts, thoughts, and beliefs about who we are, about the world in which we live. And through this, we become more aware of who we are and our true inner being. So it's a process, you know, of looking inside, shedding our illusions, and uncovering our true essence, which is always present. But we're hidden behind our ego personalities. You know, we have the ego personality, and then we have who we really are. So you may ask, why should we be interested in spiritual growth? And what are the signs that we are growing spiritually?
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, here's the deal, as I see it. We develop detachment, which leads to inner peace. You know, we can detach with love and know we are not our things, our homes, our jobs, our car, and detaching comes much easier. And, you know, we learn not to let outside circumstances affect our mood. Do not let anything or anybody take away your joy.
Well, that's a challenge.
Well,
I just want to point that out. It is a challenge because some people may feel defeated just at hearing that. It's a process, and it is a challenge in some situations, but it's good when you achieve that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it takes work, you know, and it does take a little work to do that, but it really it's just a matter of switching, you know, being able to switch to, you know, if you're in that place and you're letting moods and other people affect you, you have to take a look at, you know, what are the priorities? What, you know, put it all in perspective and shake it off. We are what we think about. You know, we become more patient and tolerant. And you know how important it is, you know, take a few deep breaths and know you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this, to me, makes it easier when I really get in touch with knowing whatever situation that I'm in. If it is challenging, I think, you know what, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, and there is there's a path, and I'm on my path, and it really makes it, you know, a little bit easier to go through whatever the challenge is, to know that we are in life exactly where we're supposed to be. Things are happening exactly the way they're supposed to happen. And in taking a look at it that way, it does put a different perspective on things, and we're able to just take some deep breaths. And it's one of those aha moments, mm-hmm. you know, where you can just know that, aha, we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And, you know, you can learn to rise above frustrations, disappointment, and negative feelings. You know, we have learned how to change the channel, as we've talked about in previous shows. And, you know, changing the channel, you turn your negative thoughts into positive thoughts. It is as simple as that, and it does take practice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the weeds are our negative thoughts, and we have to plant the flowers, which are our positive thoughts. So,
Sherry, where does somebody start if they just can't change the channel quickly because they're overwhelmed with despair and whatever negative feeling they're in or lower vibration feeling? Where do they start?
They start by thinking positive right away. They start by getting grateful. You know, why else? Why are there so many people that are not happy with what they have? You know, take a look at what you have and be grateful. If you're in a grateful place, you're starting to change the channel. You're saying, you know, sometimes those negative feelings and thoughts that come up, like if you wake up in the morning and you're in a feeling of your head is starting out negative, recognize that they are only thoughts. They are negative thoughts, and you are not those negative thoughts. That's not who you are. Sometimes if you don't know a positive thing about yourself, if you're in that place of self-pity, you have to write down some things, some positive affirmations. I'm happy. I'm healthy. You know, and by starting to talk and say positive things, your negative thoughts can't stay in that environment, in that vibration. They are going to turn and change. You know, write a grateful list. You know, it always brings you back to reality. A grateful heart has no room for anger, resentment, or worry.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
And, you know, these are things that I have learned along the road that are universal truths. You know, it is what it is. And we just have to do these practices. Just do it. Not think about it. Don't think about, well, I'm going to, you know, I know that I need to think positive, but right now I'm really going to stay in my pity pot. Well, you can stay in your pity pot as long as you want to. You can stay there. It's your choice. And it's all up to you, but you can turn it around if you want to also mm-hmm. and take a look at what you do have. Don't think about what you don't have, what you're not getting, and that things are not the way you want them to be. Think about what you do have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really great. I know there are a lot of people out there who are grieving for a loss of a loved one, or who many people have lost their jobs and they're in fear, they need money. It's, you know, that throws people in a downward spindle of emotions, and, you know, they need to catch themselves and be able to, you know, be grateful for what they have and not be angry and not be, you know, overwhelmed with the fear. Just know that they're on the right path. That's really good information you have there, Sherry.
It's true. A lot of people are going through a lot of things right now, but if you stay in the thoughts of what you don't have and that you're not, that, you know, the job situation, the money situation, you're going to keep your vibrations in that place of negativity. And even if things are not happening the way you want, it's called fake it till you make it. Start acting as if change the channel, start thinking positive. That next job is going to come along. You know, you're at the place that you need to be, because something, obviously, there's a lesson needed to be learned here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what is the lesson? And, you know, we're growing spiritually strengthens our inner power. And this leads to increased feelings of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you ask, how can we grow spiritually?
Well, that's a good place to take a break. Listeners, I'd like to invite you to pick up the phone, give us a call, tell us a good news story this day. Call us at 347-324-5983. 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a phone, or if you're not listening to us live, you can always send us an email. Send it to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. And for you iPodders, you can download the show right into your iPod through iTunes. If you need to know more about that, you can go to the website. It's www.goodnewsshow.us. That's www.goodnewsshow.us. This is Patty Black bringing the Good News Show to you this beautiful morning, and I am on air with Sherry.
Good morning, everybody. So we are talking about growing spiritually and being in the moment. So as I said, you ask yourself, how can we grow spiritually? Well, the term spiritual growth is not really correct, because the spirit is perfect and does not need to grow. It is just a term that describes the process of becoming more aware of what we are and who we are. So, you know, we get to look at our life and circumstances from a different and more detached point of view. And then we can put things into proper perspective. And it's a process of shedding negative habits, thoughts, and beliefs, and letting the inner self shine out. So it's like a radiant light bulb hidden behind layers of material. You know, so how do we remove the layers that are covering the light of your inner self?
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of ways. Well, you do that through positive thinking, as we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Change the channel to positive thinking.
Change the channel. be in the positive. Reading spiritual books. Reading spiritual quotes, and by practicing concentration and meditation and other techniques such as like Qigong or yoga. And so, you know, as we've talked about meditation before, and meditation can be, if you need to just do it for 10 minutes and start that, you know, it's getting you a little bit closer to being able to do a longer term meditation, but it's just being able to concentrate a little bit and stay in your body and let the thoughts go. And it is amazing when you're being quiet, because talking, you know, it's easy to talk, but to be able to sit there and let your thoughts stop, that's a challenge. So when you just let, you know, you can watch your thoughts. Be an observer. Watch, sit in a quiet place and watch the thoughts come in and let them go. And then you're thinking about, you got to go to work, let them go. And you keep your...
We're having a hard time hearing you, Sherry. I think your mic is muted.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I'm here. So we're talking about meditation and being able to let your thoughts go, be able to sit in the moment, be present, and watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts come in and let them go. And that does take practice to be able to do that also. But if if you start out with a few minutes, it really can take a stressful situation and put you in a place of being able to handle it in a better way, in a more calm and peaceful way. I find it's really important to incorporate that in your life. You can do that while you're standing in line waiting for groceries, and you can be in that moment. It doesn't have to be where you're sitting and you're in that position of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You can be at a light waiting for the light to change and be able to just sit there. Like they have, the Buddhists have walking meditations. You could do it while you're exercising. It's the process of watching your thoughts and letting them go and getting back to your breathing. And you do that, you know, many times during the day, and it really brings you back to the present moment and that you have everything that you need right here and now to enjoy your here and now. You know, because if you really look at, you know, what's bothering you, you know, you take a look at where you are right here and now, and are you okay? Can you handle this moment? You know, you'll realize you are okay at this moment. You can handle anything for the moment. So sometimes if you're in a situation, you need to take it moment by moment, you know, at hour increments, you know, and check in with yourself and do some breathing and sit and just let the thoughts go. So I'm going to give you a few suggestions that to help you get onto that path of spiritual journey. And these are some of the things that I and Patty have incorporated in our lives. And so I want to just let you know a little bit about this. And it's acknowledging the fact that you are a spirit with a physical body, not a physical body with a spirit. And if you can accept this idea, it will change your attitude towards many things in your life. And there is this saying, I am a spiritual being having human experiences. So we can, you know, look inside yourself. Try to find out what makes you feel alive. We had a show on this a couple weeks back, and it was on, you know, what brings you joy? Take a look at what is it that you wake up in the morning and what makes you feel alive? What gets you out of bed in the morning? This is really, you know, it's really a good point to stop and take a look at, you know, what do I have? What is happening in my life? And what turns me on? Which brings me to our mantra, which I did want to let you know what our mantra is, my new mantra, and it is, do what makes you happy. Look at what gives you joy. Listen to what lifts your spirit. Speak to those who warm your heart. Now, those are things that if you just go by that, you can turn your life around. You can really have your joy back. You know, look at what brings you joy. You know, who do you like to be around? What lifts your spirits? Don't be around people that are pulling you down, that are taking your energy from you. You know, be around people that warm your heart. You don't have to be around negative people or people that are abusive. You know, that we have choices now. We don't have to do that anymore. So look inside yourself. You know, that's find what makes you alive. I highly recommend that. It's just a great thing to, you know, it brings you back to being in touch with yourself and getting in touch with who you are. Make an effort to think positively. If you find yourself thinking negatively, immediately direct your mind to thinking something positive. Like you said, what does the person do? As soon as you see that you're thinking negative, immediately direct your mind to thinking something positive. because you have the choice. You are not your thoughts. You are, you know, you can let those thoughts go. You know, open the door to positive. Close the door to negative. And start to train yourself to focus your attention on everything you do instead of letting your attention go to wherever it wants. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Start to train yourself to focus your attention on everything you do instead of letting your attention go to wherever it wants. And be in the moment. Be here now. Learn to practice meditation. Start with 10 minutes. Do your best to be tolerant, patient, tactful, and patient. And then thank the universe for everything you have and everything that you get.
Well, that's great information, Sherry. I want to thank you for sharing it with our listeners. I think it's a great topic, and a lot of people are responding. We've gotten many emails during the show this morning, so I want to thank you for being with us. We do have our guest online. I want to see if I can bring her in. Before I do that, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'd just like to say you have a great week, everybody, and keep sending the emails and let us know what you'd like to hear about and how you're liking our show. And we like the ratings that you're giving us, the 5-star ratings. Thank you again for that.
Oh, that's great. Hello. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Hi there. Can you
hear me? Rachel.
Good morning, Rachel.
Hi there.
Rachel, hi. We need for you to speak a little louder. It's difficult to hear you.
Okay, let me try this.
Better.
That's great.
Okay, good. Took off my speaker.
Okay, good, good. Could you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. Well, my name is Rachel, and I am a licensed nutritionist and a registered dietitian. And I've been working in my field for about 10 years now, and it feels like it was just yesterday that I started. But I've been doing all different kinds of things. I've been working in hospitals. I've worked in nursing homes. I've worked with HIV/AIDS patients in kind of shelter situations. I've worked with women, infants, and children in a WIC program up in Minneapolis. I've worked in weight loss centers, and I guess that kind of rounds it out, but it's been a lot of different things in 10 years. And in the last 2 years, I've been doing strictly consulting, and I have my own company now where I actually, you know, meet with my clients one-on-one, and I really help them on a holistic level as far as helping them turn around their different health conditions that they might be suffering from using, you know, nutrition and also in some cases herbs and homeopathy, but nutrition is by far my focus.
Mm-hmm. And so, how did you get the focus onto nutrition? It seems like many you have done many things, and now you're focusing on nutrition. How did you get that focus?
Yeah, well, I started off, actually, to take you back even farther, I had always kind of known that I always felt like a healer. I always knew that I wanted to go into medicine. I grew up kind of thinking that I definitely wanted to be a doctor. And I guess it's kind of a normal thing for kids, but mine, you know, stuck with me throughout. And but there was something that I didn't quite know what at the time as a kid, and even as a young adult, as an adolescent, that I didn't quite know why I didn't like it. But I did start pre-med in college, and with the sciences, heavy in the sciences and the math and everything else. And it was around my first year of college, so I was still about 18, that I realized that I didn't like the fact that medicine was invasive, and I knew that I didn't want to do surgery. And, you know, growing up a healthy kid, never being on any medications, I also didn't feel any kind of interest in prescribing medications or doing surgery. So there's something about medicine that I didn't know what, but I didn't like. And I was just kind of starting to discover that when I was, you know, about 18, 19. Well, meanwhile, I had a really turnaround kind of experience in my life because I was a scholarship athlete starting school. I was a full scholarship soccer player. And even meanwhile, this soccer playing, I did what, you know, all these kids do, that freshman 15 syndrome, except I gained about 30 pounds just before I started school, and then throughout my first semester, even, you know, playing two-a-days and training and, you know, preseason and during season. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge disappointment to myself and everyone really around me, my coach and everybody else. And so I had to, and this is all a result of, you know, changing my diet, of course, first time leaving home and resorting to, you know, things like Taco Bell, and all I had was a microwave in my, so Taco Bell is my favorite, that's why I bring that one up. But all of the crap, you know, I mean, we didn't even have Starbucks at that time so much, but, you know, they still had those flavored coffees, and I was really into those, and, you know, just... All the stuff that, you know, actually that we still do today, but it was just awful. And I gained a bunch of weight as a result, and about 30 to 40 pounds. And not only that, but I couldn't play. I was worth nothing on the field. And my grades, having gone from being literally a 4.2 graduating high school student to becoming, I got 2 D's in my first semester and several C's and I think 1 or 2 B's or something like that. But I had to do something drastically different. I literally sat before a board of people that were determining whether I would retain my scholarships, both academic and athletic. And I had literally had to tell them my plan and convince them that I had potential and they should pay me for another year, another half a year of school.
Wow.
So I changed everything, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I changed it, and I landed on the right result, the right nutritional result, and I was eating tons of greens and, you know, increasing my protein and cutting out all the processed crap. So I ended up just losing all this weight on my own, and I had to drop classes and retake them and get A's and take extra classes and get all A's, and I did it. And I realized at that point that nutrition was an option. I didn't know that there was even such a field. And there's such a major at my school, but there was. So I was able to go into that, and I have literally never looked back a single day since. So it kind of just was this natural fit for me.
Well, that sounds like you turned a bad situation into a positive and great situation.
Absolutely. I didn't, at that time, it was a bad situation. I was going to have to move home, so yeah. It turned out wonderful because it's allowed me to be able to work with other people that maybe, I mean, I was fortunate in the way it was only about 6 months of my life that had kind of gone down, the way that I see it, I had kind of gone down the gutter, you know, going from being a great student, great athlete and a social person to kind of losing all those things. And so, yeah, now people that maybe have spent, you know, even if it's been years, often, you know, women, after they get pregnant for the first time, they never quite regain their body or even, you know, their energy and different things like that. And, you know, other people, it starts at different times, sometimes in childhood. But to be able to know the difference that it makes in such a clear way, you know what I mean, and then be able to assist people to that better way of living is it's
so do you have does each person do you treat them individually, like each person gets a different plan, or is it one specific plan for everybody, or does each person, do you tweak it to fit their needs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't ever print up a sheet of, you know, meal ideas. I mean, sometimes I give that to people in addition, but I never just give somebody a standard meal plan. I've done that in the past working for other programs, and I don't like doing that in my own program. I mean, every person gets a different meal plan, and it's based on, you know, so many different factors, but of course their food likes and what they're, I always try to take what somebody's already doing. So, I mean, the majority of the time that we spend initially is just learning about you. You know what I mean? So what is your lifestyle? I mean, what time do you wake up in the morning? Do you have children? Where are you when you have breakfast? Where are you when you have a snack? What are your cravings like? What do you, you know, what are your biggest temptations during the day? What are the times that you get really tired and reach for something? You know, all these different things. And then, you know, planning, kind of, you know, creating a plan to try and circumvent all those issues and give replacements and, you know, doing things like when people maybe have a craving and love Reese's Pieces, you know, or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you know, developing an alternate that's something like dark chocolate with a little bit of almond or macadamia or real peanut butter on top of it, you know, as a replacement, and that, you know, not trying to be too idealistic and asking someone to drink some fresh vegetable juice at that time as an alternative to their favorite afternoon snack.
That makes they sense. Don't want to hear that.
No, not typically, and I don't do that either, so.
Well, Rachel, is there a simple way for people to understand which foods are healthy or unhealthy?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, people get, I think, so drowned in this whole info world of, you know, all the different magazines out there and all the different, even doctors and nutritionists, you know, in the American Dietetic Association saying one thing and then another association saying something different. And, you know, it's kind of like the way that I look at it is very, very simplistically. I look at the difference between real food versus man-made or processed food. And, you know, the real food or whole foods are the foods that our body should be consuming. And, yes, of course, there's different ways of combining foods and making sure you're getting the protein and the, you know, the proper carbohydrates and fats. But if you start by, you know, determining, is this food healthy, you know, picking up a bowl of Rice Krispies and saying, you know what, do these Rice Krispies grow on a tree? Can I pick them from the ground? You know, well, no, you really can't. And how many steps does it take to get from the whole grain rice that did grow in the ground to this crunchy, crispy, pop, snapple, whatever, you know, in the bowl? I totally, anyways, but, you know, and so instead, if, you know, having a bowl of, actually my sister made yesterday for us, literally brown, we had leftover brown rice from the night before, and she mixed it up and just added a little bit of butter and I think coconut oil and a teeny bit of maple syrup and I think she might have put in a little bit of milk and just mixed it up, and we had kind of like a porridge oatmeal, but it was from, and you know, we had papaya on the side and some other things, but it was just whole rice and brown rice.
That sounds delicious.
It was so yummy with some cinnamon, I think she added, and you know, maybe a couple other things.
Mm-hmm. That's a great alternative to cereal.
Exactly. And so when it's coming straight from the ground, you know, is rich in all these different minerals, and that's where we get the majority of our, or a good part of our minerals, I should say.
And what about protein? I mean, there's so many talks about you don't need that much protein, animal protein versus tofu or, you know, and then there's this whole thing about vegan, and people just don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a big, confusing mess out there. And I get so many people who are so proud to report that they drink soy milk, and they're just so proud of themselves, and I commend them for making the effort to do something healthy, always. However, soy is one of those things that is very, very processed, and, you know, there's some great information out there. If you search Western A. Price, he has a foundation. He was a dentist that did a ton of research and very, very interesting stuff, but, you know, he talks about soy on his website, and there's lots of resources on soy, and truly it's not a very healthy food at all, in my opinion, and based on the research that I've seen, and based on my own personal experience, too. It's very hard to digest, so it causes some GI issues. It, you know, acts as a phytoestrogen, so it can really mess with people's hormonal balance, men and women included. It's been cited in all kinds of different hormonal problems, and you know, and then on top of that stuff, it's very highly processed, all the ways that we consume it. And so the Japanese had the right idea by fermenting it and turning it into miso, which when you ferment something, you know, you make it much more digestible. So they're able to, I believe, eat it much more healthily in the form of miso, but the way that we've processed it, I don't recommend.
Mm-hmm. I was one of those people that started on soy, but then I switched to almond milk and rice milk,
uh-huh.
and that seems to be, but it has some sugar in it, though.
Right.
What is a better alternative than soy?
Well, I think you've got the right idea. I think that the rice and the almond are two milks that I recommend for someone who, you know, really likes to have milk in their diet, you know. I personally am not a big milk. I mean, I've almost cut milk out entirely, and what I'll use is coconut milk. I'll just, I mean, it's canned, and the only downfall there is the can itself. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can buy fresh coconuts too, which I do at times. But I use, you know, canned coconut milk sometimes for smoothies or to make, like, a hot chocolate. One thing that I just started doing is going in on a co-op that's actually local here in Miami that a nutritionist friend and colleague of mine just started. I can give the information if anybody wants to be in touch with me, but it's for raw milk, for raw goat milk and also raw cow milk. But, you know, I've been using the goat milk, and it's actually worked really, really well for me. You know, in terms of digestively, it felt good, and I can feel a difference in my skin even and, you know, my digestion when I drink even, you know, regular dairy, and I feel a difference. Like, I start to produce more mucus when I drink regular cow's milk, and so the goat milk I haven't felt any of that with. And it is definitely...
That's great, Rachel. Have you cut out all dairy in your diet, cheeses, and what do you suggest with that?
It depends on the person. Some people, like if you're having trouble with eczema or if you're having major digestive issues, or a lot of people know that they can't tolerate dairy because digestively they just absolutely can't, then yes, you know, we need to work on some alternatives, and they need to, you know, at least try for a couple of weeks cutting it out and seeing what kind of results they have to see whether it's the antagonist in their diet. But personally, it all goes back to what, you know, to their biochemistry, you know, and sometimes it just goes back to their digestive function. So literally just including some extra enzymes and probiotics can help somebody to be able to digest their favorite food, which might be dairy, you know. But so it's individual. There's trial and error. But me personally, I love dairy, and I do okay with certain kinds. And I really just try to stick to the organic stuff that doesn't have the added hormones, because to me that's one of the biggest problems with dairy, you know. And I stick to, you know, natural cheeses, and if I can, like I've been doing the goat milk and organic heavy cream I'll use occasionally, and, you know, organic ice cream if I'm going to have ice cream. Or there's actually really great coconut milk ice cream now that I just started using. That is awesome. No sacrifice at all. It's called Purely
really?
Decadent. Yes.
What is it called?
Purely Decadent.
Decadent. Okay.
Yep. It's coconut milk ice cream, and I believe they use agave nectar for their
wow.
sweetener, which is a little
that
lower.
That sounds but, great.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I'm always looking for ice cream alternatives.
Me too.
And is that something that is found at Whole Foods?
Yep, that's where I found it, actually.
Oh, terrific.
Here.
I had to make a little side note about that.
Right.
Yeah, get your pen and paper. I'll tell you later if
you need. Guilt-free ice cream. I love it. What is your view on the amount of protein that a person needs in their diet?
Oh, okay, great. Again, it's very individual. However, protein, just to kind of, you know, let you know where protein is used in the body, you know, it's used for all, obviously, muscle tissue. We all know that. We need it when we work out our muscles and to support our muscle tissue. It's also what comprises all of our organ tissue. So our heart, our lungs, our liver, our kidneys, all of our organs in our body are also dependent upon protein to maintain themselves. On top of those things, we use protein for our immune function. It's probably the most critical nutrient for our immune function. So if our immune system is depressed in any way, or if we've got a lot of immune stress in our life, our protein needs go up. Let's see, it's also used for enzyme production and hormone production. So, you know, we need a little bit more to support those functions. And it's used for neurotransmitter production, and so stress. So whenever we are more stressed, even psychologically, we need a little more protein. And then, of course, if we have any wounds or surgery, anything like that, then we need additional protein. So it all depends on kind of what type of lifestyle you live is the way that I see it. You know, I don't recommend veganism. I know you guys have lots of different people on, and there's some people that have done really, really great being vegans. And for those people, I think it's great. I personally have worked with vegans who are sick. That's been my experience with vegans. Vegans who feel great for about 6 months usually, because they've gotten rid of a lot of toxins that come from, you know, animal byproducts, which is why I recommend organic and stuff. But you know, feel great for about 6 months, and then all of a sudden, you know, immune system starts to suffer. Skin, which is another organ made of protein, can start to suffer. You know, depression sets in, different things like that, because the body is like a triage system. So it triages the protein, and it maintains the heart and the kidney function, you know, before it maintains the brain function or the reproductive function or the immune function, because those things are less important than that you live to see tomorrow. And so I've seen a lot of sick vegans, but now here's the catch. I believe that if you live in a place where there's very little pollution, which causes stress in the body, and that there's very little other types of stress, emotional stress. Like, let's say you're in rural India, and you literally are living that kind of lifestyle where you're going to sleep by dark and waking by light, and no EMFs in the air, and very little pollution, and not a lot of, you know, commercials going and buzzing around, and different other things happening all day long. Then could your body sustain itself on lentils and vegetables and whole grain rice alone? Possibly, very possibly. And nuts, very possibly, I believe so. You know, however, when you throw in all these other factors, and then on top of it, processed foods, which, you know, are like anti-nutrients, they actually create a greater demand for protein and other nutrients to just undo the damage that, you know, the processed foods have done in the system, then, yeah, your protein needs are going to go up. So a lot of vegans end up choosing, or vegetarians, or people who try to cut out meat, let's say, end up choosing more pasta, more cereal, more bread, tortillas, you know, things like that, maybe even cookies or you know, pancakes, you know, all the sweeter ones, you know. But, So it's all how you do it, and it's all who you are. And if you're a very zen person that can avoid all the stress in the world, even living in modern America, then you might be able to sustain yourself on a very rich diet in nuts and legumes and whole grains and vegetables and fruit. But otherwise, most people need animal protein, is what I found.
That's interesting, and I think it's realistic, because, you know, if somebody is going to be a vegan, if they're depleting certain nutrients, they will get sick. And I've heard it before too. They don't know how to do it correctly. And it sounds like you can really help people and guide them when they are making a diet change, Rachel. How should somebody approach changing their diet to gain a healthier lifestyle? Should they do a drastic change, or should they start with one food at a time? What would you suggest?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess I subscribe to the stages of change theory, which, you know, everyone's ready at a different time, and there's different stages of change. So kind of preparing yourself mentally by reading and by perhaps seeing a nutritionist. That would be when you really are quite ready to do that. But, you know, making sure you're doing it right. But starting with a few foods at a time is a good way to go, because it allows you to kind of start to see, to make it a more permanent change, I mean, usually the slower you make a change, the more lasting it is. It's kind of like a friendship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to just go into a totally different style of eating without the support that you need, at least, because it's too easy to just abandon it all days or weeks later. And you also want to see how your body kind of assimilates things. I mean, I've worked with people, I've made mistakes too, you know, and I can remember one client in particular who really wanted to, you know, totally change the way that she felt and looked, and I was very motivated with her, and she was only in her very young 20s, so I didn't think she could have had this level of sort of insulin resistance going on, but we moved her to a very low carbohydrate diet, you know, just fruits and vegetable carbohydrates and just about a half a cup of grains once a day or so. And she really, her blood sugars just went too far down too quickly, and she felt, you know, a little dizzy and tired, and, you know, that wasn't good. So you don't want to do that to yourself either, because your body is also, depending on how long it's been and what type of diet you've been following, you know, has acclimated to a certain type of, it can depend on certain things coming in and at certain times. And when you change it too drastically, you know, your body might not be up to speed with where you're at just yet. And so, you know.
Mm-hmm. That was my next question for you, was to say, with people that are trying to lose weight, what is the story with grains? I mean, every, you know, people on the only protein, and then should they eat grains, and how many grains should you eat during the day if you're on a losing diet?
No, that's a great question. I mean, again, it's individual. However, the problem with grains, and the reason why you've heard so much about, you know, reducing the carbohydrates and cutting the carbohydrates, for instance, in the Atkins diet, is that carbohydrates trigger an insulin response. And insulin is the hormone in the body that is literally responsible for taking excess and energy in the form of food, taking food and turning it into either energy or fat storage. And it's a beautiful mechanism because it's how we were able to get through starvation periods in the past. However, now there's no such thing. So, you know, we were able to take excess food in the feast period, let's say Thanksgiving, and hold it over as fat through the winter when we didn't have as much food. And that's what our bodies are trained to do, and insulin, it's insulin's job. So carbohydrates are what stimulate insulin in the body. And so when we do have insulin circulating in our system, we have a very hard time going into the opposite kind of operation, which is removing fat as stored energy and then burning it into energy. But when we have insulin in the system, our body will not do that. It's like it shuts down and insulin's the master hormone, so it listens to insulin, not the other hormones that are trying to do the opposite. So that's the purpose for kind of removing some of the glucose from the system. Glucose comes from, you know, all the different carbohydrates, whether it's candy or ice cream or fruit,
mm-hmm.
or bread. But it's not to say that you should remove it entirely. We need carbohydrates. And, you know, we just usually need less than what we're getting. It turns out that what we're getting in our, if we were to take a representation of what the supermarket, let's say, or a typical menu at a restaurant offers, we are getting way, way, way more carbohydrates than we need. Because carbohydrates come from, if you were to look at the food guide pyramid, most of the different sections of the food guide pyramid, it comes from the sweets and the fats. It comes from the breads and the grains. It comes from the fruits. It comes from the vegetables. And it even comes from the dairy. So there's a lot of different forms there of carbohydrates. And so if we're getting even that representation, then that's way too much, especially for weight loss, but even for weight maintenance. And so I really just recommend that people get their carbohydrates, especially when they're trying to cut some weight or even maintain their weight, that they really get their carbohydrates from just fruits, vegetables, and a little bit of whole grains, you know, here or there throughout the day, maybe a little less for certain people if you are really needing to lose more weight or you're not exercising as much or you're not burning as many calories because your metabolism is a little bit slower. But, you know, when I say whole grains, I mean like that brown rice or, you know, beans have carbohydrates in them. You know, if there are going to be some sweeteners in your diet, like I mentioned, I do eat ice cream, then, you know, trying to make it something that's, you know, looking at the label and trying to find something that's brown rice syrup or maple syrup or agave, you know, versus corn syrup, which is a very high glycemic, meaning that it raises the blood sugar very quickly, meaning that it raises insulin quite quickly. So, you know, not to mention it has no nutritional value whatsoever. So trying to get your carbohydrates from places that also have lots of nutrients, too, like your fruits and your vegetables and your whole grains, basically. But limiting it.
Quinoa.
Raw when you
quinoa.
Can. Absolutely. Oh, quinoa, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for... Okay.
You have given so much great information. What I like about what you do is how you're incorporating really healthy foods and holistic, and, you know, you talk about that. A lot of nutritionists still are from the old school and aren't doing, you know, this type of really cut down, you know, the breakdown of the holistic and whole foods and you know, talking about getting away from the sugar. So I really, I think you've really given a lot of great information today, Rachel.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's what I love, and, you know, it's all about education, and I educate my patients more than I preach or anything like that, because when it comes down to it, when you leave my office, it's your decision, you know, how you want to, what you want to do, and if you know at least how things are affecting your body, then, you know, 3 weeks down the road when you're saying, well, why am I eating this quinoa, let's take, for example. Why am I eating this? I really, really liked my Uncle Ben's white or my rice pilaf, you know, or whatever it might have been. You know, why am I doing this? This is brown and it has this, well, oh, that's right. It has lots of protein and, oh, that's right, I needed the protein for that. Oh, and it's got minerals and fiber too, and the fiber helps with my digestion and, you know, just different kinds of, you know, when people understand why they're doing what they're doing, they're a lot more likely to not abandon it a few weeks later or a few months and say, you know what, I liked the other stuff better.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they do have the information. It's a point of reference for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And how it affects them. That's what we all want to know.
Well, I just think that's really great where you do leave them with the information so they can make well-informed decisions when they're grocery shopping or when they're at a restaurant and they need to choose food off the menu, which can be challenging. So I just think you have a world of information, Rachel. How can our listeners contact you for more information if they want to get in touch with you?
Sure, they can email me. I have many emails, but one of them is Nutrolution, spelled Nutrolution, so Nutrolution @gmail.com. Or they can call me directly at 305-542-8200. So 305-542-8200. Or email at Nutrolution@gmail.com, or go to my website at www.nutrolution.com.
Well, we have loved having you on the show with us today, and we do hope you come back for another session. You have a world of information. You have a great speaking voice, too.
Thank you. I loved being here, and I love your show, so I would love to come back.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So we have a few more minutes left. Do you have anything that you'd like to share with our listeners before we sign off?
Sure. Let's see here. Do people ever call in, or do you guys have any questions for me?
Well, I wanted to ask a little bit more about, you know, when you talk about, I mean, cutting out the additives. You know, and like Diet Coke, the NutraSweets, the things like that. I know I just went through doing all that, cutting out coffee and sugar from my diet.
Splenda.
Splenda. That was the hardest thing for me because I used to put like 8 packages of Splenda in a cereal in the morning. That's a lot. So I don't do that anymore. I use agave a little bit, and I feel so much better since I've been off the NutraSweet. That's been a huge change.
Oh, my gosh, I can imagine. How long were you using the sweeteners, do you know?
Well, for years and years and years I was using it, but it's been about 8 months that I've not used it. But just being more aware of, you know, what ingredients are in things and being able to, you know, to eliminate, you know, coffee for the most part.
Yeah.
Or any type of caffeine. I found that that's really been helpful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when people need to make a food change, it's a very drastic thing, and it's very emotional.
Very. I feel the same way. I mean, I still struggle myself with coffee addiction, and I can go for a few weeks and make the change, and then when things get tougher, then it's almost like we clutch back to certain habits. You know what I mean? And that's actually my last straw. But, you know, I'm fine that I'm still working on it. But it's funny how, I mean, it changes the way your whole system works, coffee does in particular, because it just stresses your adrenal glands so much, and it can affect so many different areas of your body that it's just, when you just relieve, in my case at least, when I spend time without coffee and I relieve my adrenal glands of that extra stress, I don't know about you guys, but I start to get much calmer. And
oh yeah, we had our last coffee yesterday.
Okay.
We've been off of coffee, but just in having it again and seeing what it does to the body. We were, like, hyper till like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon before we could come off of the coffee buzz.
Caffeine.
Oh, wow.
Caffeine, yes.
And, you know, I can't believe how Starbucks, I mean, I it really actually bothers me how Starbucks has just kind of made coffee delicious for everybody, because people didn't drink that much coffee before this whole craze where they started adding all this sugar and, of course, the artificial sweeteners, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what cracks me
up
is when I go into Starbucks, they always ask me, I'll say, you know what, I want, you know, a vanilla latte, but I just want a little bit of vanilla because I don't like it too sweet. And they'll say, oh, well, we've got the sucralose
sugar-free.
Is what they use, the Splenda sweetener, the sugar-free sweetener. And then, you know, and they'll say, oh, we can make it skim for you. And I just think, oh, my gosh, you guys need some nutritional education here.
Right.
I want to
let you know, in case you don't know about it, there's a really great coffee alternative called Tecino. Have you heard of it?
Yes, it's delicious.
It is delicious, yeah. And there's another one called Perno, P-E-R-N-O. And if you add that to some, like, rice milk, it's like having a cappuccino. It's a instant powder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very delicious.
Awesome. I will check out the Perno. I've never tried that. The Tecino is delicious, and they've got it in like 3 or 4 different flavors, like mocha and like almond, don't they have, or hazelnut?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's just a roasted. It's roasted herbs and barley is what it is. Like chicory root.
It is.
And barley. And the only thing that I, you know, that people need to know about that one is that. And the reason why I guess I stopped kind of using it as much is only because of the barley for people that are sensitive to gluten. But if you're not, so just to, you know, mention that for people, if you do know that you have a gluten sensitivity or allergy, then, you know, that might not work for you. But maybe the Perno, I'd have to check into that one and double check what's in that one. But
yeah, that's good to know about.
We are down to our last minute, so we need to say goodbye. And listeners, thank you for being on air with us. We know you've enjoyed Rachel as much as we have. Rachel, thank you so much for logging on with us this morning and sharing what you have shared with us and our listeners.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great week. Rachel?
Hi.
All right. Have a great week. Bye bye now.
Have a great week.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye. Oh, are you guys still?